Can't even play it back.
Okay. So, last time we discussed having a remote authorization in a situation in which there's no local Bezdin to take care of the get, and the complications involved both with a tzivoy physically in front of the sof and the edim, and with a tzivoy bitsav. A corollary to that is the issue of writing gittin in situations of military deployment. So the Gemara here on Ayin Gimel Amud Beis has the following. Right, it's impossible to have a get that's going to be chal after the death of a husband. The get could only be chal while the husband's still alive. But you could have a get which is conditioned on the fact that it's going to be chal shachas kodem mitzvos, it's going to be chal some point or the last point before he dies, and that could be a valid get. So Tosis here raises what is essentially a machlokes Rashi and Tosis in the sugya in Subis. It's also presented as machlokes Rashi and Tosis here about what was the meaning of the Gemara in Subis in the first parak that kol yotzi lemachemes based David get krisis kosid lishto. Whoever would go out to war in a milchama v'esavim, milchama of any righteous Jewish king, they have the practice of writing a get for their wife before being deployed to war. The Rashi there explains that that was a conditional get. It's a tonight has to get that in the event that I fail to return from war, then the get will be chal, and in the event that I do return, the get will not be chal. Right? This is Parshas Matos, Parshas of Tanai B'nai Gad B'nai Reuven. So Rashi understood that the notion of writing a get before going to war was that of a conditional get. And Tosas and Rabbeinu Tam argue. Rabbeinu Tam assumes that it was a complete get, kosim get gomor, below shim Tanai B'tzinah. It was done privately without any Tanai. It was a normal get. And should the husband return, then they get remarried with a regular seat of pollution. So they wouldn't publicize it in the papers, but quietly they'd have a get. It would be a 100% fully valid get. She would be 100% divorced. If she chose, she could remarry someone at will. If she married someone, she wouldn't be able to remarry her husband. But assuming she doesn't get remarried and the husband comes back from war peacefully, then they would have a second chuppah v'kiddushin, and that was the practice of kol yotzi lemelchama beis david get krisos kosev l'ishto.
So what would a kohen do then?
So then kohen would have a problem.
He'd be forced to do this tonight.
Or he wouldn't write a get.
Okay.
Taking Tosa at face value, right? Cohen would not be able to write an unconditional get, even under the circumstances. The Mordechai here in Simen Tuf Kuf Gimel, in discussing a get shtimera, a get commissioned by someone who's on his deathbed, writes that it's appropriate to be machmir for what is essentially the Rabbeinu Tam quoted in our Tosfos, not to make a get al tnai. And Rabbeinu Chil Mipariz had the practice that whenever he authorized or whenever he oversaw a get shkimera, a get that was commissioned by someone who was on his deathbed who wanted to save his wife from a situation of yibum or something of the sort, so he made that an unconditional get without any tnai to make sure there would be no sfeikos about the validity of the get. And in that case also, if the husband got better, recovered, then they would have to have a regular chuppah v'kiddushin upon his recovery. The Marsha in the end of the Masechta points out that this practice of the Rabbeinu Yechiel Mipariz to avoid a get al tonight is based on the Rabbeinu Tam and Artosos. That was the practice of Kol Yotzi L'Melchama based on it. And in general, the minhag quoted by the Ramah in Simen Kuf Mem He is that our practice is to always avoid a tanai in a get. We never allow for any conditions to be in the text of a get. We also don't allow for implicit conditions that aren't written in the get. The Ramah writes over here in the end of Simen Kuf Mem He, the Yesh Omrim de l'chachila ein l'garish ha'yidei tanai. You shouldn't have any condition attached to the get. Raki garish stam, v'l'kabel v'cherim makahilos, alite mashkenos, kishayamu yachzor v'yisuz ezeh. them. In the case of Shimeira, he was talking about a Shimeira who, let's say, doesn't want to give up all hope of getting remarried. He just wants to give his wife the insurance that if he does die, she won't be tied down to some yavam that they can't get a hold of. So it has to be an unconditional get, and if they're concerned that they're not going to get back together again in the event that he recovers, so he should be mekabel cheirim, he should be mekabel b'shvua, or give some kind of security that he's committing to the fact that if he recovers, he's going to remarry his wife. But aside from that promise, there's no t'nai that's allowed in the get itself, there's no t'nai that's allowed in the actual seder haget. So at face value, given the Ramos recording of the practice not allowing t'naim in a get, so in a situation of someone going out to war who wants to give his wife the insurance, knowing that in the event that he's missing an action, she won't be stuck in his anugula for the rest of her life. So the simple practice should be that you write an unconditional get, you divorce your wife, and when you come back from war safely, you'll remarry her. Now, obviously, yeah. The Rama says no t'nai because having a t'nai in a get could result in various halachic complications as to how the terms of the t'nai are met. If they're met, who's going to be the arbiter of whether they're met, what happens if there's some misunderstanding about them, etc. So therefore it's better to avoid any sfeikos and not allow for a t'nai in a get. So even though that at face value would be the simple choice for someone going out to war, the later Achronim who dealt with these questions will also point out that there are some other issues to be taken into consideration. The number one, as you pointed out, it doesn't help a Kohen. There's no way that a Kohen could write an unconditional get under these circumstances. And furthermore, sometimes it could have a detrimental psychological effect on a soldier going out to war, they're fully divorcing their wife. It doesn't make you feel good when you're on the way out. So among those that discuss this, there's a series of tshuvas. For example, in the tshuvas of Rav Herzog, the Hechel Yitzchak, who's yours, I think it was this week, discussing in the context of soldiers going to the Second World War. So first, he has a series of tshuvas. He first starts out by quoting a printing a letter to him written by Chaim Ozer in the end of 1940. It's a very short letter. In the beginning, he writes about the fact that all the yeshivas are now gathered in Vilna, and they're having a tough time supporting everyone, and some of them are trying to make it to Eretz Yisrael, and Baruch Bear wants to get to Eretz Yisrael, so maybe to help Baruch Bear get to Eretz Yisrael and provide for their needs, and the Mir and Kabbalists want to go to Eretz Yisrael, etc. And that's the first two paragraphs. And the final paragraph, he says, and by the way, the question that you asked me about, what do we do when people go out to war? So our practice is that we do allow for a seder haget al tanai. And he writes, that was the practice in the past, to allow for a seder haget al tanai in a situation of someone going out to war. So, in the subsequent shuvas, in the Hechel Yitzchak there, he discusses how to go about having what amounts to a conditional get without actually having a conditional get, without actually having a tanai, to be marviach or to avoid the issue that the Rama raises. So one of the suggestions that he has is that you could construct a tanai, which is in the hands of the shaliach, not in the hands of the baal. The baal is going to write an authorize an unconditional get, but the shaliach is going to be empowered to decide at what point the get could be written, and the shaliach, or it could be delivered, and the shaliach will do so on the basis of, let's say, the Beis Din's hashara as to the likelihood of whether this person is going to come back or not. So, for example, the language that he suggests in one place is, let me just find it.
It's different if the man himself had his kid from another way.
But it's not.
Right, so the language that he suggests is that if 1 year has passed after the end of hostilities and the Beis Din makes the estimation that the husband hasn't been heard from or he's missing in action and there is insufficient proof to determine that he's actually been killed, or if we do have information that he's killed but it's insufficient to be matter simply based on that information because it's sketchy, so in those situations the Beis Din could authorize through the shliach to get to be executed at that point. The other issue that Rav Herzog discusses in his tshuvos is the issue of the get yashan. Get yashan is a get which is written, and then the husband and wife live together again, chayishas, before the get is given. So that get yashan can't be delivered. So if you have a situation where someone goes out to war, one or two things. Either they're going out to war on such and such a day, but they're not. Time doesn't allow to write the get or to authorize the get that very day. They're going to have to do it a week before. In the interim, he's going to be with his wife. Or someone comes back from war for a week. He's let out for a week to come home, and then he goes out again. In those situations, you presumably could have the case of a get yashan, where since they're living together again, that would invalidate the authorization of the get. So he gets around that with goes through that sugya here on Ein Gimel, and lay them this up as well. Without going into the details, he gets around that with the language that would account for the Baal's authorizing the get, even in a situation in which he says explicitly that he authorized the get to be written under the circumstances that we allow for it, even if I come back with my wife and my wife, should not be construed as a bittul of get. That's his allowance. The language that we use in our Beis Din when we have such an authorization is I'll just read you the relevant lines. Let me find it.
This is made available to who?
Situations where we deal with it are soldiers being deployed into armed conflict.
No, but another left of example. First of all, American soldiers,
right.
And then they will contact the base and saying,
I'm being deployed, and I want to authorize the get to be given to my wife in the event that I don't return from war.
And we don't know where I am, and
right. So the language that we use in this authorization is that this get shall be written and delivered only when it is determined by any single member of the Beis Din of America that I am unlikely to return from military service, and I write this get to release my wife from the chains of Igor. Under no circumstances shall this get be written within a year of my disappearance. So that's the language that we use. And then the reversal clause, as I explicitly state, that even if I should return to be with my wife on occasion after this document is signed and we reside together as a couple, I am not nullifying this appointment of an agency to write, sign, and deliver the get to my wife.
Yeah. And it will be written
by the get will be. The get will be written at the point that we determine he's not coming back. If he's dead, he's dead. You don't need the get. If he's not dead, then the get's going to be effective at that point. From that point on, it's definitely not limit right. So the get will only be authorized, will only be written and delivered once the Beis Din determines that there is no real chance of his coming back, and he's been missing for at least a year.
But if he died, the get has been given after his
children. Yeah, you don't need the get.
But then,
so we've been mocking him. It's a matter
of.
So we'd be probably mocking both directions. In a situation, right? I mean, first I discussed that it depends on how likely. Meaning, if all the evidence points to the fact that he's dead, we just can't prove it in absolute terms. So then the get would be, if we were to do a get, it would be get l'chumra, but that wouldn't absolve them from either. But it's to cover your bases in case someone doesn't.
Then happens in Eretz Yisrael? In Eretz Yisrael, that they...
In Eretz Yisrael, there have been tshuvas about it. I don't know anything firsthand. Rabbi Jachter has an article on this topic in which he writes that the general practice in Eretz Yisrael was not to do this because the feeling of the Rabbanim HaRashiim was that it would have profound psychological effects on
Writing.
So I don't know this firsthand, but Rabbi Jachter records that the practice there is not to. Although there are tshuvas, it's Eliezer, Gorin, where it was done. But it doesn't seem like it was done across the board.
Rabbi Herzog went on record as
Herzog was talking more about about soldiers being deployed in World War II. So
I wonder what happened when the first when he was there. About 1960 or so. You're saying the first initial period of time for the first more than a decade.
Right.
Historically, I wonder whether he...
Right. So I think there was discussion with the Muhammad al-Shahur, but as a cross-the-board matter, I don't think it was done. I have here a copy of the brochure that was sent out to military chaplains by the RCA during World War II. For the protection of the war widow. Forms of authorization by a soldier husband before leaving the U.S. or who is already overseas for self or witnesses and a proxy messenger to write, sign, and deliver a get. So the instructions here, and I don't know who was running the RCA at the time in 1942 that drafted this language, but the recommendation was that after months of deliberation and consultation with other rabbinic authorities to protect the war widow and the woman who's been a problem, which is likely to arise as a result of the present war, we present the following revised forms of authorization by a soldier husband to write, sign, and deliver a get. We strongly urge that soldier husbands should, whenever possible, fill out and sign these forms in the presence of a Beis Din, consisting of rabbis, authorities on the subject of Gittin and Kiddushin. In order to avoid problems of police, etc., it's advisable that the Beis Din issue an outright get or a get al Tanai. So the recommendation was to actually write a get, which we don't do now. In cases where a qualified Beis Din is not available, then they should do what essentially amounts to our Minui Bechsav and Minui Bechsav if they Beis Din, but not in front of the Sof and Eidim, what we do in the situations we discussed. So they had the form to do that as well. We colloquially refer to it as the Kismet Tanu, and then they should send those back to the RCA. These are the forms for authorizing remotely a Sofer and Shliach to write and sign the get. That was apparently the practice that the RCA had endorsed during the Second World War. And our language nowadays is not to authorize the writing of a get immediately, but only under situations in which the Beis Din determined that it's unlikely the husband's going to be coming back. Someone called us not long ago, someone in the Air Force is being deployed overseas to a dangerous place, I don't know, Iraq or Afghanistan or wherever, and he wanted to do this. His wife wanted to do this for that security.
Herzog came up with a whole new, nobody had mentioned this before, this whole thing with the shliach, that
it was a new... Having it in the hands of the shliach, what they think of Herzog's staff.
It's not as if when you
that's
have...
That's what we do. We don't leave the determination up to the shliach, we leave it up to the Beis Din, but it's a similar idea. And Herzog's language, which is, again, similar to ours, but he has the text of his Harsha as well. Here we go. Getza yikasei v'yechasein v'yinasein ayidei hanal. The get should be written, signed, given. Rak acharei sheitzbara l'rabbinim harashiyim l'aris Yisrael shayu b'yimim mehem. Only if the chief rabbi is determined, oh, le'echad mehem, one of the chief rabbis, sheneskab l'hodah me'ashiltonos hatzvayim, that there is notice given from the military authorities, she'ani b'chlau havudim, that I'm missing action, oh, she'ayidiyas al-derech hadarim in a'olam chasashol mozian mazbiros adeus now, or that the knowledge of my disappearance is not sufficient, oh, le'echad mehem, even not sufficient to be matter her on that basis alone. And only after 1 year has passed since the last remaining Israeli MIAs will be returned from enemy captivity. Okay, that's more or less the language that we use. As his language is specific to Eretz Yisrael. Diana Bramsky also wrote an essay in Hapardes during the Second World War for the benefit of Allied soldiers, also recommending that authorization be given and allowing for authorization to be given in a situation in which the Sofer and the Edom are present. They have the authorization to serve present another Besdin. Under those extenuating circumstances, with the practical point as well, that if massive numbers of soldiers would be deployed, it would be practically impossible to have everyone have a hearing in front of the Beis Din to go through the normal procedure of Sivi HaBal Ve'edim. So sometimes it would be necessary to do it remotely, and the Chazon Ish's concerns notwithstanding, which he addresses or mentions, under the circumstances he allows for this remote authorization, and he also has a missa of the Hersha.
With who? He says, don't be with who?
His language was a little bit more absolute, which is something that later philosopher first like himself weren't fond of. He just has a set time. He says, if I don't return within 5 years, then you can write the get. So the danger of writing, if I don't return within 5 years, is the work will go on longer, or there could be other situations that prevent his coming back, which are necessarily evidence of his being missing or dead.
So it's essentially the same, the mechanism, though?
The mechanism is the same, right. So something is going to kick in. Here it's an absolute passage of time, so those are the classic cases of Im Lovasi Ashtoshim Yom.
You don't leave it to the discretion.
Right, it's supposed to leave it to the discretion of the Beis Din or the Rabbanim HaRashiim or someone to make a determination based on other evidence around as to whether a get should be written. Okay. There's not more to talk about, but
So the basic head there, though, then wasn't just referred to. It was I'm just saying it. Let's remember Rumsky, for example.
Right. Yeah, and there are two of the different Malkiel that also have similar suggestions.
Earlier
in the beginning of the century. Russia.
I mean, in Israel, from a practical perspective, in the last 60 years or so, I mean, there's only been roughly six or so soldiers who haven't come back. I mean, from
who haven't been
whose bodies have not been recovered. I mean,
that's a dangerous always there.
Yeah, I think it's not to, one is too many, but right. It's after 6-5 years. I mean, that's three and
considering.
Right, I mean, given the numbers, it's still extremely low.
Right, which is probably part of the reason that it's not pushed there as much, but. In America, we have used it for people deployed to Iraq. Definitely earlier, Korea, Vietnam. Comes up.
I mean, there's no more. They don't expect. They have Tomb of the Unknown Soldiers. I think the idea of an unknown soldier is really is an unknown concept now, because with DNA testing, this is a separate issue. But the idea of someone just being unknown and being able to identify is no longer a problem per se. So, but,
no, it's not that.
A lot of issues.